Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message from Michael Salisbury.
So this is an interesting one for me, this message. Very potentially it's going to evolve into a few weeks. Last night I had 8 points, I got through two, so we're in for a long haul. But for me, this message is interesting in that it has the potential, as I was putting it together, to just feel like good life coaching. Just good Christian life coaching. But then as I kind of delved into it and as I started to read through the scriptures and stuff, I realized that it's not good life coaching because there's incredible power and truth in the scriptures. And that's what we're going to be grounded in today, because we believe that the scriptures are life changing. And we want to do much more than just life coaching. We want to see God do life changing stuff. Because I don't know about you, and I make these very broad statements occasionally, but most life coaches I know actually hate their life. Most dietitians I know have eating disorders. Most small business coaches have never actually run a small business. Most pastors, we'll leave that one. But because there's a real difference between knowing the theory, even believing the theory, but then actually just living it out. And we want to be a church, obviously, that is grounded in the Word. We want to know theology and we want to know doctrine. But just knowing it makes no difference to our lives if we don't allow God to speak to us and mold us. If the knowledge then doesn't transfer into some form of action, and we allow God to shift and change things within our hearts, and we allow God to do what it is that only He can do. So let's be a community of people who don't just know things, but actually live them. Let's be a community that take what God does in these spaces here, when we get together in life groups, in the time that you spend in the Word yourself at home. Let's allow God to shift and change and mold things in our life. Let's make sure we get weeks and months down the track, and we can look back and go, you know what? I've actually become more Christ-like. I've moved. Maybe I've shifted and I've dropped a few attitudes. Maybe I've started to learn something about God, and I've allowed that to push and propel me in the direction that He's got for me. Let's judge ourselves not on whether we're a bit richer, or we've got more stuff, or our life's a bit easier, or we're looking better, or we've dropped a few kg, or we're running a bit faster. Let's judge ourselves on whether we're becoming more like Christ, because that's what we're called to do as followers of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, there's a really cool verse. That says, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. It says, "For the kingdom realm of God comes with power, not just with impressive words." And that's what we're about tonight. This morning, we want to experience God's power. I don't know about you, but I have a room in my house that represents my life. When that room, it's my shed. When that room is chaotic, it means my life is chaotic. When that room is just that space, and I look in it and it looks like five homeless people moved in and they're all hoarders and it's a hard rubbish collection, like, and there's just stuff everywhere, that's probably symbolic that the fact that my life feels a little bit that way, that I don't have enough margin, that I'm running on empty. And then if I was to invite you to my house, which I'm not, let's be clear. No, we're all about community. Go to Tracy's. But if you would, if when I'm in a good space, I don't know why this isn't overly spiritual, but when I'm in a good space, that space, my shed, my garage, it's clean. Everything's put away. Tools are in its place. My camping gear's over there. The motorbike's over there. Everything's in its place. And today I feel like maybe God wants to do a little bit of housekeeping. God wants to allow us to open our hearts, to be vulnerable before Him. To say, "Hey, God, search my heart. God, just, I want you to highlight stuff to me today. I want you to use scriptures to show me today things that I might need to change, things I might need to put down, beliefs that I might need to reset." And I'd encourage you to give yourself permission today to be vulnerable before God. Give yourself permission to believe for the impossible. We sang it before. We sang about breakthrough. And for some of you, you've come here and I know you need breakthrough. You're facing incredibly challenging situations, the confronting things that you're in the midst of, personal struggles. You've come feeling weighed down. You're battling with mental health challenges. And I believe that God wants to bring breakthrough today. That as we explore the scriptures, there's such power in the word. That when God is active and he has freedom to move, that genuinely all things are possible. Let's not just come and have a nice happy clappy time and listen to the band. And like if we're just doing that, we'll just have Andy playing it every week and we'll get someone far more inspirational than me and we'll charge $500 a head and then it's just life coaching and a nice concert. But this is so much more than that. So please, can I encourage you to pause now and decide whether you're willing to let God speak to you this morning. Decide whether you're willing to allow God to search your heart. Whether you have just a mustard seed of faith that he might be able to bring breakthrough and do the impossible in you and on your behalf. Because that's the God I believe in. I'm an all-in kind of guy. I'm on or I'm off. I know for many of you, you probably have a dimmer switch in your life that, you know, sometimes you're going at 100% and sometimes you can just dial that down and you're going at 60% and you just cruise through and oh, I'm awake or asleep and there's no in between. I don't gamble and it's not, well, look, it's not because it's the Bible says not to. That's just an added bonus. I can't gamble because I'm not interested in betting $50. That in no way is exciting to me. The fact you might win $50 or $100. What excites me, like what genuinely excites me, even thinking about it now, is getting my entire house and betting it on the roll of a dice. Like if you're not all in, what's the point? It's an interesting insight into my mind. I realize it's terrifying. But I'm telling you that when it comes to God, I'm all in. I am all in. My chips are all on the table. And I'm holding a pair of twos. And I'm all in because God's my dealer, which I know in light of our NA conversation earlier is probably not ideal, but we'll take that out of the podcast. But I'm all in on this. My goal is that I will get to the end of my days and my body will be old and withered and dried up because I'll have wrung every last ounce of life. Will have been wrung out of it. And I'll stand before God and go, God, I gave it everything I had and I'm so grateful to you. And I really trust that God is going to do something significant this morning. Because I know that when things are a little chaotic, pre-service, it means good stuff's going to happen. I missed out last night. We got evacuated at 10 to 5. The fire alarms went off. We all had to leave the building. We all ran out the building screaming. Mulyadi went back to get his guitar. Left his child here, but he got his guitar. And then the fire brigade came. And that was exciting. And then I let them into the other tenancy. And then the band came back in and started practicing. And the fire brigade's trying to figure out what's going on. And they said, what's that noise? And I said, that's our band. We're a church. You guys should come. And the guy looked at me and said, we charge $5,000 for every 15 minutes we're on site. I said, you can move along now, son. But I want to ask you to stand and join with me in prayer this morning before we explore God's word. Can I encourage us, let's join our faith together right now. I don't know how you came in this morning. But I want to encourage you. If you've come in and you're wrestling through something, I believe God wants to bring breakthrough. If you're here and you're in a good space, then can I encourage you right now, just in this minute, can you just in faith be praying for the person who might be standing next to you needing a breakthrough? Be praying for the person that might be waiting for you when you get home that needs a breakthrough. Those that we're in connection and community with. So let's pray together. Lord, We are so grateful that you are here and that we have the honor and the privilege of being in your presence. Lord God, I thank you that even now you are at work and on the move. That as we just open ourselves up to your word, Lord God, you would search our heart. You would bring breakthrough. You would bring light into the darkness. You, Lord God, would take those things that are limiting us, oppressing us, challenging us, and you would bring breakthrough, Lord God. So, Lord God, we just make as a statement, Lord God, that we believe that you are a miracle-working God. We believe that there is great authority in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, that you say that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us who believe. And so as a united community right now, Lord God, we just believe. Give us wisdom as we look through your word, Lord God. In your name we pray. Amen. So if you haven't gathered already, I'm a little erratic at times and my mind can be a little bit of a busy place. And so one of the things that I do, obviously, apart from, praying and the God thing is to help my erraticness, and I run a lot. And so that's a good place for me. It obviously keeps me healthy-ish, but it is also, it's good for my head and my heart. My wife's been known to send me on runs because she's decided that I'm a little erratic, and so she'll send me off on a run, and it's just a good space for me, and I value that greatly. And unfortunately, due to a bit of an ongoing injury which I've been ignoring for a considerable period of time, I can't run at the moment, which means I'm potentially going to lose my mind at any minute, so get ready. So what I've been doing is, because I can't run, I've been rowing out on the ocean or the lake or whatever, just on a rowing machine, which is just an exercise in frustration because you put all this effort in and you just don't go anywhere, which just seems pointless to me. But so I've been rowing, and I've got to be honest with you, I really hate it. Like, there is not one bit of it that brings me any joy whatsoever. There's nothing in that process that's enjoyable except for the end of it. But I need to do it, so I've been doing it. But the only way I can get through it is to lie to myself the whole way through. And so what happens is I hop on the rower, and in my head I go, right, just do 6K. So I go and hop on the rower, and I get 400 meters in, and I go, I hate this, I've had enough. And then in my head I go, you know what, Michael, just do 1K today. Just 1K will be enough. So I row and I row and I row, and I get to like 980 meters. And then in my head I tell myself another lie. I go, you know what, why don't you just do one more, mate? That'd be enough. So I do one more K, and I just keep lying to myself until I get to 6K. And then I get off and I go, oh, that wasn't so bad. And then the next day I hop on the rower and I start rowing, and I get 400 meters in and I go, I hate this, I'm not doing this anymore. And I tell myself the lie that I'm just going to do 1K today. And I've been doing this every day. I've been lying to myself repeatedly, and it seems to be working, which is really concerning to me, because that either means I'm a fantastic liar or incredibly naive, and I'm not sure which one's better. But I want to open up a topic today about what lies have you told yourself, and what lies have you believed. The great philosopher George Costanza from Seinfeld said, it's not a lie if you believe it. And that's incredibly insightful. It's not a lie if you believe it. Because sometimes the things that we believe aren't actually truth. But those beliefs then shape our reality. And I guess it's important to establish, what are we measuring truth by? So we're going to measure truth by that, by the Word of God. Unchanging, uncompromising, the Word of God. And this is going to be our yardstick when we talk about lies and truth. If it lines up with the Word of God, if it's in the Word of God, then it's truth. If it sits outside of that, if it's pulling us away from that, if it's causing separation from that, then it's probably a lie, and we need to look at it. So this message and these thoughts come out of the belief that God's word is true. It's alive, it's powerful, it changes lives. John 14 says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, not a truth, the truth. That there is great power according to this truth. There is only one measuring stick. Because sometimes we have an inherent belief. And maybe that's formed through things that people have said to us. Maybe it's out of situation and circumstances. And we've chosen to believe it, whether we've actually realized we've chosen to do it or it's just happened and it's formed our reality, but it's not actually truth according to the Word of God. My six-year-old came home the other day and he was in a foul mood and talking to him, he had had a couple of days off school and he came home with I thought he was just annoying, but apparently he was upset. And in talking to him, I realized that he came out with the belief that people liked it more when he wasn't there. And I wish I was that sympathetic to him but we talked about this. Why did he feel that way? Did anyone say anything? No. What did people say? Well, my friend said that they were really glad to see me. So what made you feel that way? And he said, I don't know. It's just how I feel. For him, that was truth in that minute. Was that the truth? No. But that's how he felt. And for a lot of us, that's how we've spent our life. We've allowed things that may not be true to dictate the way we see the world, ourselves, others, and God. And we've allowed it to shape the way that we think God sees us. And in no way am I belittling some of the challenges that we face. The situations and the circumstances that are incredibly challenging. The mental health battles that we wrestle our way through. I'm simply speaking out the fact that I believe that there is hope, and there is hope that is found in the power of God. And I don't know how you carefully swing a sledgehammer in a china shop, but that's what we're going to try and do this morning. So I've got four action points out of this morning as we start to look at these lies. And there are four things that you can engage in and believe for. The first one is we're going to have the opportunity to pray with you. We believe incredibly that there is great power when we pray together. We believe in the laying on of hands. We have a team of people who passionately would love to pray with you after the service. If things are raised and said that stir something up within you, or God highlights something to you and you go, I need some powerful prayer for that, then we have some people who would love to stand with you and pray and join their faith with yours. The second action point is we would love to be able to connect you with some professional help if that's what you need. We have some great contacts of very skilled men and women who can walk the journey through with you, who are of great faith but also have incredible skills. And we'll be able to give you some strategies and help walk that journey through with you. And I'm not hedging my bet when I say we can help you with some prayer and we can help you with some professional, because we shouldn't think it should be one or the other. Because sometimes God can do whatever he wants. And who are we to try and explain how he will move and when he will move? And there are times where God will just change something instantaneously and it's just shifted. And then there are other times, for whatever reason, that God sees fit that we would walk through the process. The third thing is, the third action point is, this one is one that we need to take personal accountability and self-discipline for. So many of us come to church, we respond, and we go, oh God, here's all my stuff. I surrender it all, Lord. Here's all my stuff. And we put it down, and then we go to leave church. And then we quickly run back in and we grab our crap and we take it home with us again. We have a responsibility if we're going to hand it over to God not to pick it back up. We have a responsibility if we are struggling and we are wrestling with things. We have a responsibility about the words that we say about ourselves and to ourselves. Bishop Garlington, he has a saying, he says, Words create worlds. If you don't like the world you're living in, start speaking out another one into being. And what he is saying is there is life and death in the power of your words. And you need to be incredibly careful that you're speaking words of life into yourself and over yourself. That we start to speak the words over ourselves that God would be speaking to us as well. I love the fact that Jesus shows us that we have a part to play in his miracles. There's the story of the lame man where Jesus says to the lame man, "You're healed, get up and walk." Now Jesus could have gone and lifted him up. Like he could just zap him up, right? Because we know in the Bible that at times the power of God took someone from there and just moved them over there. Like it's happened in Scripture a couple of times. So God can do that if he chooses not to. But he says to the lame man, "Hey, you're healed, get up and walk." So what does the lame man have to do? He needs to decide whether he's going to partake and participate in the miracle and actually get up and step out in faith, or whether he's going to sit in the situation and the circumstance that he'd been in. So we have some accountability and we have some self-discipline. So many times we pray and we expect God to do his bit and we don't do our bit and we wonder why it isn't working out. The fourth action point is something that we're going to be believing for with you, and that's the miracle working power of God. That we believe we serve a God of the impossible who can do all things, that he's not limited by anything or anyone. So we're going to look at a couple of the lies that people tell themselves, that people believe, things that might have been spoken out to you and you've taken on board, or maybe that they're just beliefs that you've put upon yourself and allowed to shape your reality. And I pray that as we explore this, it would be like a spot the difference puzzle. Do you guys ever remember spot the difference puzzles? They've got the two pictures and you've got to see which bit's different. And I pray that this would be the one that we're looking at, and then we'd hold ourselves up against that and would allow God to highlight the things that he would like to change and shift. So the first lie, and understand this is not groundbreaking theology, but it's simple truth that contains great power. Our first lie I want to look at is the fact that some of us believe that God loves other people more than he loves you. Sometimes we're mistaken in thinking, when we look at other people's lives, that maybe because their situation or their circumstance looks better or easier or nicer than ours, that God must love them more. Just because we have limited ability to love at all times in all situations, let's never project that onto God. God blesses people in different ways at different times for different reasons. That doesn't mean he doesn't love us. The fact that you're in the midst of a challenging situation, or you're faced with something you've been wrestling through for a very long time, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. The Bible is so clear. God loves and values you the most. One of the most spectacular things about God is he can love all of you with all of his heart, 100% of the time. So let's be really clear, regardless of your past, your present, your race, your religion, your culture, your gender, Christ died for all of humanity. His perfect love from a perfect God for an imperfect humanity. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's spectacular to me. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In Luke 15, we see the three parables that talk about how much God would do for just one. We've got the parable of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, the story of the prodigal son. I think the modern day version of that would be the rejoicing that comes when you find your lost AirPod that you thought you had lost. And so for a week you only have a left one but no right one. And then you put on the pair of shorts that you had on last weekend and you find it in your back pocket. Praise the Lord, hey? Call a party. But I pray today that you would have a revelation of God's love for you. A love that is so great and so immense that when you have that revelation of God's love for you as an individual, His love for you, it changes everything. Oh, the revelation that the Creator of the universe, the Most High God, loves you. And any voice that says you are not worthy, any voice that says you are unloved by God, that God would love someone more than you, is simply lies from the pit of hell designed to keep you from experiencing God's love. I have such good news for you. If you have never experienced God's love, then today is a great day for you because you have that opportunity. If you're here and it's been a long time since you've felt that, then happy days, people. This is why it's called the good news. God wants to remind you of His love that is so immense. To me, this lends itself to another lie that we tell ourselves that sits hand in hand, that we're not worthy of God's love, that your past or maybe your present means God couldn't truly love you or forgive you. The truth is, none of us are worthy of God's love. This is where His grace and mercy comes in. And if you're here and you don't think you're worthy of God's love, do you know what? You're in the right place. Join the club. This is God's grace and mercy. The fact that despite the fact that we don't deserve it, we get His freedom and His forgiveness and we get to experience His love. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short. So don't sit there and say, oh, it's all right for you, but you don't know what I've done. I'll give you the hot tip. You don't know what I've done either. And right now, while I'm being recorded, is not the time to have that conversation with you. But all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short. And that's okay because God's love is so immense. So if you doubt your worth, your value, if you struggle with your self-worth and your self-esteem, I believe God wants to bring breakthrough today. I believe He wants to give you a revelation of His love for you. And like I said, if that's something that you are really wrestling with, not only do we want to pray with you, we want to be able to plug you in with some professional help so that you can walk through that, because that is not what we are meant to carry around. That is not what we were created to be. There is too many people who believe that lie, that they are not of worth or value. I mean, you only have to look at the mental health statistics. You only have to look at the self-harm and the suicide rate, which are at the highest of any time in human history right now. Never before has this earth believed that lie so much. Can I encourage us, if you believe that you are of worth and value, not because of who you are, but because of what God has done for you and in you and through you and all that Jesus has done for you. If you believe that, can I encourage you that in the face of everything out there, you need to peddle the truth. You need to be ones who tell people that they are of worth and of value, that they are cared for, that they are loved. I know this is a little weird, but I will often say to my mates from footy, I will text them and say, hey, I just want to tell you, you're of great worth, mate. And they must look at that text and go, that's quite awkward. I don't know how to respond to that. But I might be the only person that tells them that. We have a responsibility to spread the good news. I believe God wants to shift and change something for people today. The next lie I want to address is maybe a little more of a doctrine. And I know that we've all come from different backgrounds and different places. And I just want to make it really clear that as a church, this is what we believe. There is a lie that says that I need to earn my salvation or I need to add to my salvation. That is not biblical. We do not believe that that is a biblical truth. The truth is that Jesus accomplished everything we need for our salvation on the cross when he died and he rose again. It's not like God got 90% of it sorted and we need to make up the other 10%. It's not like my renovations at home when I am ferociously enthusiastic for the first 90% and I'll tear out the walls and the roof and the ceiling and I'm happy to put them back together again. But when it gets to that last 10%, I've got to be honest, it's pretty boring. A little bit of painting up there, a little last patch up there. I'm a bit of a 90% kind of guy when it comes to renovations. And I am glad that God is not 90% when it comes to salvation. He is all in. It is complete. Jesus himself said on the cross just before he died, he said, "It is finished." That is, this is a full stop. There is nothing you need to do except accept the salvation that we find in him. It's not a loan. We don't have to pay it back. We don't earn it through our works. It is finished. The Greek word that is used there, it talks about the fact that it means to bring to an end, to complete, to accomplish. It signifies the success of a particular course of action. It would be the word that you used when you reach the summit of Mount Everest. It would be the word that you use when you make your last payment on your mortgage. It would be the word you use when you take that last step across the line when you're running a marathon. It means that it is finished. I did exactly what I set out to do. That was what Jesus was saying when he died on the cross and he said, "It is finished." He was saying, "This is what I came for." And the beauty of this is it's in the perfect tense in Greek, which means it speaks of a course of action that although it happened a while ago, it still has significance today. This happened and its effect is still today. So church, it is imperative that we understand that our salvation is complete through Christ. We don't earn it. We don't add to it. We accept it. We repent and we live daily in it, thankful for God's incredible grace and mercy, which means me, an imperfect, broken human, can be in relationship with a perfect God. That's astounding to me. That I get to be in connection with the Most High God. I was on the train recently with my kids, and we'd been to the basketball, and we were coming home, and we got on the train at Richmond, and I've got to be honest, I wasn't feeling overly evangelistic. It was Sunday afternoon. Kind of felt like I'd done my bit for the Lord already this weekend, and I was just about having some quality time with my kids, and we hopped on the train, and that weekend there was a big Seventh-day Adventist conference on in the city, and so I hopped on a train full of Seventh-day Adventists, and they were up and about, they were all excited, they'd been Seventh-day Adventisting, I don't know, and I hopped on the train and I went, "Do you know what? Just don't look anyone in the eye. That's the key." So we hopped on the train and we stood in the standing section. My kids are here. And just here was four guys, a bit older than me, sort of 50 or 60, suited up, badged up, ready to go. It was like they'd been at pre-season training camp and being on the train was their first game for the season. They were pumped. And I stood. If they were here, I did this deliberately. And I could feel their laser beam eyes looking at me, desperate to make conversation with me. And I thought, "I'm going to out-stubborn them. I don't care how long they stare at my back. I'm not turning around. I don't have it in me to have conversation today." They were staring so hard at me. My daughter said, "Dad, those men are looking at you." I said, "Shh, just ignore them." And eventually I turned around and they got me. "G'day, how you going? You having a good day?" they said. I said, "I was till you started." No, I didn't say that. I said, I am yourself. And they said, oh, yeah, we're having a fantastic day. We've been at this amazing conference. And they started to go into their spiel. And look, I appreciate their passion. And we could probably take a leaf out of their book that we should make the most of the opportunities that we have to share what we believe. But they said, good day, yeah. And he started to go into his spiel and I stopped him. I said, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but I've kind of got it sorted. And they said, what do you mean? I said, look, I'm a pastor and I'm pretty strong in my faith, and so I appreciate the effort, but you should probably save it for someone else. And he said, oh, that's great. We're all on the same team then. I had my kids there. It didn't really feel like the right time for that conversation. And so I said to him, look, mate, this doesn't really feel like a train conversation to me. But one day we're going to all die and then we'll figure it out, hey? And I realise that's not the most Christian thing to say. But he hopped off at the next station and I said a prayer for him. But I am glad that unlike others, we don't believe that we have to earn our salvation. It's not works-based. God loves you. You can accept and have salvation in Him. And it's not based on who you are or what you do or how hard you work for God. It is simply because He loves you with all of His heart that He gave us the gift of Jesus Christ. And I am glad that my Father has a house in heaven with unlimited rooms. Rooms for you and for me, for my family, my friends. Unlimited rooms. That salvation is there for everyone. And I know some of you have probably been taught more of a works-based salvation, that we need to serve a penance or we need to work and serve in the church for our salvation to be full. I just want to tell you, we don't believe that. We believe it's complete in what Jesus did on the cross when He died and rose again. So hear me clearly. If you are going to serve in this church, it's not under obligation. It's not trying to earn something or pay God back. And I appreciate the fact that everyone who is on rosters and teams in this church does an amazing job. Thank you. And I know that not every time do we come and go, yay, I'm on host today. I understand that. That sometimes we're helping out, we're fulfilling the roster and we're serving it, and I get that. But please hear my heart when I say, if we're going to serve, let's remember the honor and the privilege and the fact that we get to serve in the house of the King. What a privilege to be a part, just a small part of what God is doing, building His kingdom. Psalm 84:10 says, for better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. We talked about the fact that there's four clear action points for today. We would like to provide the opportunity to pray with you. We would love to stand and pray with you. And if something has been said that has challenged you, if God has highlighted something to you, then we would count it such an honor and a privilege to be able to pray with you about that and for you. Let's join our faith together with yours. If something's been raised today and it's something that you've been wrestling with or struggling with or has been weighing you down, we would love to be able to put you in connection with some professionals who could walk that journey through with you. Because I don't believe where you are now is where you're meant to stay. God loves us too much to leave us the way we are. Can I encourage you? If God's spoken to you about something today, and He's asking you to put something down, hand over your crap. Can I encourage you to hand it over and don't pick it back up again? Times where God calls us just to take off our filthy garments that have just soiled and ripped and torn up from life and hand them over and let Him give you a fresh set. Don't put the dirty stuff back over that clean stuff God wants to give you today. So I'm going to ask the band just to lead us just in a song. And then we're going to have an opportunity, if you would like, we're going to close the service. We're going to have an opportunity to pray with you. I just ask that you would stand now and we would worship. Just even as we sing, I believe God's going to give people revelation of His love for you. And it would be like He would just want to overwhelm you with His love today.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.